إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو بكل شيء عليم وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده وتركنا على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ثم أما بعد I do testify that there is no God worthy of worship except Almighty Allah the one to be worshipped the one to be obeyed the one to be followed only Allah And I do testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his last messenger, the one who is trustworthy, the one who carried the responsibility, and the one who fulfilled the promise of Allah, and the one who carried the message of Islam to both mankind and jinn in the best way a human being can ever do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have peace, mercy, security, bounty, and blessings upon him, upon his family, upon his companions and upon his followers and upon every Muslim male or female who strives hard in this dunya to follow the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to maintain his life and keep his life and keep his iman on this religion until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of judgment Ameen Brothers and sisters in Islam, first of all, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who gave me this opportunity and the one who guided me to give some of what I have and share with my brothers and sisters. And I thank him for guiding all of you to attend and to listen to part of this religion in order to strengthen our iman, all of us. And I thank the people who are in charge of this mosque who allowed me and asked me to give a lecture just today. And also, I'd like to thank Brother Auni, the one who talked to you in that manner, but I'm sure he gets no benefit from any one of you, whether all of you sit here or you go home. I'm sure he gets no benefit from any human being, but if he gets anything, I hope, inshallah, he gets it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes we would see this behavior a little bit strange to us when you see someone is trying, doing his best to invite people to come to the truth and to follow the truth. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا You're doing your best, you're exerting your effort to invite people to this religion. And laysa alayka huda. Nobody can guide any human being. Nobody. Even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot guide any human being. The issue of guidance is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the opportunity to come here. That this is enough that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to come here. And He did not guide a lot of people to come here. Or to come to the mosque to pray, or to become Muslims. When you see the people, the number of people in this place, and you compare them with the number of Muslims in Houston, and you compare them with the number of Muslims, and the number of non-Muslims in this state, you would find they are very little in number. And this tells you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whom He wills, and this guides whom He wills. So guidance is the issue in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all of us to the level that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one battle he lost some of his teeth, and he was wounded in his forehead, and every part of his body almost was wounded in that battle, to the level that he got upset and got mad, and he started cursing those people, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to misguide them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ This issue is not in your hand, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This issue of guidance is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether Allah repents upon them or whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes them, this is not in your hand, Muhammad. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that those four people become Muslims, and they became Muslims. And this is a sign that tells us no human being has the issue of guidance in his hand. All of us, all the prophets of Allah, all the messengers, all the human beings, the only thing is that they are asked to is what? Is to carry the message to people, and then the issue is left in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is an invitation, this is a command from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَا بَلِّغُ عَنِّي Inform people about this religion, even if it is one small ayah. And that's what we are going to do. Everybody has someone who is more knowledgeable than him, and every knowledgeable person has other people who are more knowledgeable than him, and above all is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we thank him for guiding us. And let me step into my topic, which will be related about the importance of the Quran and mentioning some of the miracles of the Quran. Still, as every Muslim believes that the Quran is the book that we can never ever live without it, because without this book we can never be guided in life, in any aspect of life. Some time ago I talked about miraculous aspects of the Quran, and I mentioned some of the scientific aspects, and I mentioned some of the challenges that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged human beings and jinns in the Quran in order to bring up something like this. One of the most miraculous things in the Quran is not the scientific aspect, as a lot of people think, that tells us definitely that this Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the verses of the Quran, called them signs, ayat. That means in every verse in the Quran, there is a dalil that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the issue is, each one of us needs to reflect. To reflect. Because this is the key word that you get benefit from the Quran, and you know what is good here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited us to follow, and what is not good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits us not to follow. The only way is to read the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakallahu khairan. One of the things that I'm going to talk about tonight, inshallah, is how the Quran is structured. And nobody probably pays attention to this without, as I said, reflection, without tadabbur. And as I mentioned before, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا Don't they reflect upon the Quran, or do they have locks upon their hearts? That means anyone does not reflect upon the words of the Quran, upon the meanings in the Quran, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put some locks on his or her heart that prevents him or her from reflecting and understanding the Quran. And probably in one of the meetings I mentioned what Al-Hasan al-Basri mentioned about how to deal with these hearts that invite us to do something good and invite us to do something bad. He said, عَامَلْنَا الْقُلُوبَ عَامَلْنَا الْقُلُوبَ بِالتَّذَكُّرِ عَامَلْنَا الْقُلُوبَ بِالتَّفَكُّرِ فَأَوْرَثَهَا التَّذَكُّرِ فَرَجَعْنَا بِالتَّذَكُّرِ عَلَى التَّفَكُّرِ فَإِذَا الْقُلُوبُ لَهَا آذَانٌ تَسْمَعُ وَأَعْيُنٌ تُبْصِرُ أو كما قال. He said that we treated our hearts that shakes between good and bad, that shakes between taqwa and evil, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا We dealt with it by what? By reflection. by reflection. The way to handle your heart and the way you keep your heart good is to reflect upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every time you reflect, you will inherit something that he called what at-tadhakkur. You will remember. And this meeting that we have tonight is just a reminder. A reminder for myself first, and a reminder to all of you. Because I am selfish and I like to be selfish. And every Muslim likes to be selfish in goodness. When you are seeking for good, you should start with yourself. Don't start with others before you start with yourself. And you remember when this advice, when you get into a plane and they advise you, whenever there's emergency, never put the oxygen mask on your neighbor or on your child before you do it to yourself. Do it to yourself. Save yourself first and then save the others. Because if you try to save the others and you don't save yourself, you may yourself die. And the best thing is to save yourself first and then to save others. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum naran wa quduha an-nas wal hijara. Oh you, those who believe, protect yourself first and then protect your families and relatives and the other people later on. So start upon yourself, and the best of you is the one who takes the knowledge and benefits it himself and before he benefits other people. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one of the verses in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed the Jews and he made them like those. He makes similitude between them and the donkeys that are carrying books. Do donkeys that carry books benefit from these books? Of course not. So when you get any message, the best thing to do is not to say, oh Allah, I learned something very beautiful tonight. No, the first thing, when you understand it very well, apply it upon yourself. Then after that, give it to other people. Because when you give it to other people, sometimes other people are guided. But even if you don't apply it to yourself, don't keep it to yourself. Give it to other people. But if you do that, you don't get benefit directly for yourself. But you get benefit probably when those people are guided. And this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another blessing from Allah, that anybody is guided through any word that you said, that means you are going to take rewards from him or from here until the day of judgment, inshallah. Through. The beauty of the Quran, that there's no other book in the universe that looks like it. And the answer is simply because it's the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the only book that carries the words of Almighty Allah. And today when we look at it, we look at it from perspective how it is ordered. I'll take part of it and we'll see how it is ordered to know that it is different from any other book. And you don't find any other book, even when you look at the Bible in its current state, the translated, deformed state of the Bible, you find that it's different from the Quran. You find the Bible, for example, the first chapter in the Bible is Genesis, and the first page it talks about the creation. Whereas you compare this with the Quran, you find the first thing in the Quran after Basmala is what? Al-Fatiha. The first thing in the Quran starts with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Because this is the greatest thing in the universe. There is nothing greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why from the first word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attracting our attention to our mission in this life. The first word is to submit and to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to praise Him in everything for everything, because without Him, nothing would exist in this universe. So from the very, very beginning, it draws our attention to how to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as some scholars say, that religion is half of it is thanking and the other half is patience. You can divide religion from a perspective that half of it is thanking and the other half is having patience in everything. You can sum up religion in these two words from some perspectives. So when you see, the Quran first talks about Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. It tells you all these Sab' al-Masani, seven beautiful things that you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You thank Him for everything, and this is open to remember anything you can recall in life. that you need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. There is nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not or is not worthy of being thanked for. And then after that, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the thanking, ash-shukr wal-hamd lahu, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about what? You see, most of these books that are written nowadays, they talk how to use this book, or what is the goal of this book. So they started talking about the book itself, and you would find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, starting with Surah Al-Baqarah, talking about the Quran, because the importance of this Quran. Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. So from the first line after the Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws the attention of all human beings, and especially the Muslims, to the importance of this book. What is this book? Whenever you read the introduction of any book, you want to know what type of this book. Is it a how-to-do book? Is it a book that has knowledge? Is it a book that talks about history? What type of this book? And this is a question that all of us need to know. What is this book about? What does it talk about? What does it talk about? Does it talk about history? Yes, it talks about history, but it is not classified as a history book. Does it talk about geography? Yes, it does about geography. Does it talk about sciences, astronomy, astrology? Does it talk about medicine? Does it talk about anything? Yes, it does. But it is not any type of these books. It's the book of what? What does this book is? Can you classify it a book of what? Yes, book of what? Book of guidance. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. There's not a single error in it. And it is what? Guidance. So it's a book of guidance. From the first line in Surah Al-Baqarah after Al-Fatiha, Allah informs us that this book is sent to guide humanity, and especially to guide what? Al-Muttaqeen. And this is very important. It's not enough to be guided from kufr to iman. This is not enough. But even in iman, you always need to be guided. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it's what? A book of guidance for the muttaqeen. Even if you are muttaqi, even if you are a believer, even if you are a Muslim, even if you are a mu'min, you always need this guidance from this book. And that's why Brother Auni was tough on all of us when he invited us to come and listen to this lecture, because we need guidance. We need guidance. Don't think that because we are Muslims, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to move from kufr to iman, that we no longer need guidance. No, we need guidance in every aspect of life. And the way is that to check the book and to see where the guidance is. Then after that, so all of us should know the answer. What type of this book is that? A book of guidance. This is should have specific section in any library in the world. Under when you go to libraries, any library, the library starting from the Library of Congress and one of the libraries in Somalia or in Sudan, you never find a classification under classification called guidance book. You don't find that. Did you? Yes, because the human mentality, when people think, they think differently. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is a book of guidance. So there should be a section in any library or any bookstore section under books of guidance, and the only book should be there is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's what Allah said in the beginning of his book. You don't find anything like this in other books. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moved from talking about this book to a very important issue to what the people, human beings. And what is amazing about this book is the classification of these types of people. When you find people nowadays are classified by anything, whether by constitutions or by rights, by anything, they are classified according to these criteria. They are classified by what? Either the country that they came from, ethnicity, or by the race, or by the color, or by the wealth, or by any type of these materialistic things. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala classified humanity in the book from the beginning, he classified them according to a criterion that's different from all the criteria that people deal with. And this is one of the miraculous aspects of the Quran. Allah classified people according to the criteria of what? Of belief. Not what country you are from, not what color you have on your skin or its complexion, not on the language that you speak, not on any of these bases that human beings classify you. And you, when you come to any state or any Western state, for example, when you come to the United States, you don't find a single question that's related to the issue of belief. They would never ask you about your belief, simply because this is a secular country. So they don't judge us. They probably would ask you the ethnic group. And this is a beautiful word of expressing, a beautiful word of expressing racism, because they found that the word racism is a very tough word on the ears of human beings, so they started to find a beautiful word, and they selected the word ethnicity, ethnic group, which ethnic group you belong to. They never ask you about your belief. And this is 100% tells you the difference between the Book of Allah that divides people and classifies people what according to what they 100% selected by their own choice. By their own choice, you selected to be a Muslim. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse says, لا إكراه في الدين. There's no compulsion in religion. Even if you compel someone to convert any religion, this is not accepted by you. It's neither accepted from you or neither accepted from the one who is compelled. There's no, so don't waste your time. Don't compel anyone to religion, because this is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remember these facts, because they are very important. They are very important. And even the Islam that you were born with is not accepted until you become an adult. And some scholars, they say that you need to make shahada when you become adult. Alhamdulillah, we make shahada every time we pray. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And you have to know what you say. It's either you are a liar or you have a proof. You should always be ready for this question. What is your proof when you say, Ashhadu, I bear witness that there is no God except Almighty Allah? You have to carry the proof with you. Because every time you say it, so it's either you are a liar if you don't have a proof, or you are not a liar when you have proofs. You can prove that there is no God except Almighty Allah. Always you should keep this in mind, because this is the thing that Iman is valued and measured by. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala classified people from the very beginning into three categories. Into what? Into the first group is what? The mu'mineen. And the second group is what? Is the kafirin. And the third group is what? Is the munafiqeen. Wow. Whenever you read any book written by a human being, you don't find this classification. If you don't trust my word, go and check anybody written by a human being. Unless it takes its proof from the Quran or the Sunnah, you don't find this classification. Only this is the classification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-muttaqeen, or the believers, al-mu'mineen, and al-kafirin, and the ones who are munafiqeen. And the worst group is the one, is the munafiqeen. Even the kafirin is not as worse as the munafiqeen. And this word munafiqeen is very, very big, and we will come to that. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started in the Quran. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started describing those muttaqeen, giving you the qualities of those muttaqeen. الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. This is the end result. I'll talk about this in brief. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to the second group. إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون, and so on and so forth until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the disbelievers. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنْفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. So this is another group, which is the group of munafiqeen. So it's very important when you read Surah Al-Baqarah you should have a pause in order to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala classified people according to their beliefs. And this, in other words, tells us that this is the most valuable thing in life. This is the most valuable thing in life. And people in paradise or hellfire will have their grade according to this classification. So the classification and the status in the day of judgment will not be according to nationalism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not classify the Jordanian people in one place and the Pakistani people in another place and the American people in the third place. No, this would not be the classification. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not classify the rich in one side and the poor in one side. Allah will not say that the VIP and the president and the kings are in one side and the laymen will be in a different side. No. The classification of people on the day of judgment will be according to their beliefs. This is very important, and the enemies of Islam understand this more than you understand it. And that's why from time to time you find a call coming to us from the media and from the jinn, the human jinn of course, min al jinnati wan nas. Remember that the last word in the Quran, قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. So the shaitan that whispers to you can be of two kinds, real jinn and real human being, by suggesting ideas to you, by suggesting ideologies to you, by suggesting some of these strategies to you, and you follow them. And that's why nowadays we hear about a very famous call, Abrahamic faith. Have you ever heard about this? Abrahamic faith? You haven't heard about this? Where are you living? Are you living in the United States? It's everywhere. Everywhere. And you find those people who are moving in the area of interfaith, they are talking about Abrahamic faith. Abrahamic faith. Okay. All of us are following the religion, the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And this is true. This is the true part of it. But everything else inside it is falsehood. They want to start from Abrahamic faith, from Ibrahim alayhi salam, and saying that all the descendants of Ibrahim, right, are doing good. Min alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Whether they are called Christians, or whether they are Jews, or whether they are anything else, right, Muslims. So all of them can be classified as Abrahamic faith versus non-Abrahamic faith. What a beautiful word. A lot of people, even some du'at, even some scholars, are deceived by that. And this is the deception, that they start suggesting an idea, right, which now sounds very nice. What's wrong with that? What is wrong with that? What is wrong with Abrahamic faith? Because what is wrong with it is that not everybody under Abrahamic faith can be classified as a believer. At the time of Moses alayhi salam, those who believed in Moses and followed him, they are believers. Anyone else at that time is not considered a believer. Anyone else. The same thing applies to Isa alayhi salam. Those who supported Isa, those who followed Isa, those who believed in Jesus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them the Ansar, and they are the believers. الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. Those who followed Jesus, peace be upon him, are the believers. We're the believers. And anybody else who did not believe in Jesus is considered not believer. And the same thing at the time of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is the final prophet. He is not the prophet of Muslims. Muhammad ﷺ is not the prophet of Muslims. Muhammad ﷺ is the prophet of humanity. All humanity, no exception. No exception. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So the mission of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not to a specific nation or not to a specific country, but for all humanity. So anybody living nowadays is not following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not classified as a believer. This too should be very clear and dominant in our mind, because a lot of deviation comes from here. You find a lot of calls now. You find those people of interfaith they sit together, and all of them would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, forgive us all." This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot ask Allah to forgive the non-Muslims. You ask Allah to guide them. Yes, if the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to guide them, that's fine. Yes, we are asked to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide anyone who is not Muslim. And to guide us also to the truth. But you cannot do this. Even you cannot pray, as you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevented Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from praying upon some people who died as non-Muslim. Even his uncle, because he died as non-Muslim. So there is a criterion, being a believer or not a believer. It doesn't matter. He is the one, this one is your parent, your uncle, your friend, anyone else. No, it doesn't matter. The criteria is either the iman or the kufr. The iman or the kufr. And as I told you that, the trend, the modern trend among those seculars and among the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that they talk about humanitarian things. Humanity. All of us are human beings. That's true. This is 100% true. But in this humanity, we are classified as according to our beliefs. This should be clear in our mind, because if you don't do that, you start losing your identity day by day, an hour after an hour, and a moment after an hour, a moment. And that's why when you see the TV, you watch the TV, or you listen to the news, or listen to the radio, you have nothing. It has nothing to do with what? With the word belief or disbelief. Tell me, when is the last time that you heard this word in the Western media? Belief and disbelief. Do you hear? You don't hear. Only here in the Bible. Only in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it came directly after Al-Fatiha and after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about what? About that. It tells us that it is very important, and that's why the enemies of Islam want to erase this word, and you no longer hear about it. Even when they talk about someone who is a believer, they say he's a religious man. A very vague word, religious man. It can be a Buddhist, it can be a Hindu, it can be a Muslim, it can be a Christian, it can be a Jew, it can be anything else. It can be someone who worships a dog, someone who worships a statue, someone who worships any vague thing. All of them are classified as religious people. I'm not a religious person, and they will tell you I'm not a religious person, instead of saying I'm a disbeliever. They want to play on these words, because these words would make you lose your identity. And that's why sometimes when you start talking with your kids who got their education here, sometimes you don't find a way of communication with them. They use different terminology and different language. And they start feeling that you speak differently. Why? Because you didn't teach them what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah classifies people according to this criterion of iman. Is this enough to convince you that this issue is important? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it number 3 after talking about Alhamd, about himself, and then after talking about the book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about human beings. So the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about a human being is what? Is the iman or the kufr. This is the criteria that whenever, ever, if you want Islam to exist and if you want to keep your faith, look at human being as this. Either this or that or that. In this way, you would know that you are distinguished among humanity. In this way, you know that any human being in the whole earth can be the best brother to you, regardless of his color, regardless of his nationality, regardless of his race, regardless of his social status. And this is the only way to unify people. Why? Because this is their own choice. It's not my choice to be born as an Egyptian. It's not your choice to be born as a Bengali. It's not your choice to be born white. It's not your choice to be born black. It's not your choice to be born this and that. But it is your choice to be a Muslim or non-Muslim. It is your will. It is your will. And this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us how to love people and to hate people. And even if you hate people, you still, it's your responsibility in front of Allah that you need to give them the message and you need to give them da'wah to la ilaha illallah, because you want to save them. You know that the only people who are saved are what? Are the believers. And when we talk about the believers, be very cautious. Not إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. This applies to everyone. Those who believe and they make good deeds. Who are those? We have criteria for الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. آمَنُوا of what? آمَنُوا of the sixth. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَبِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِهِ. All of them together. All of them together. This is the criteria of the believers. So when you say الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, آمَنُوا of those. All of them. So anyone does not believe in Jesus, he's not a believer. Anyone does not believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's not a believer. Anyone does not believe in Nuh alayhi salam, he's not a believer. Whatever name he gives himself, he is not a believer. This is very important. So we look at the Muslims, look at the Jews, they don't believe in Jesus. And of course, they don't believe in Muhammad. Look at the Christians, they believe in Jesus not only as a messenger, as a son of God, وَالْعَيَادُ بِاللَّهِ قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهِ, yeah, or guided them, inshallah. They don't believe, and the Christians don't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, but the Muslims believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in Jesus, and in Moses, and all of them. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحْدٍ. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحْدٍ. So when we say الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, as soon as you hear the word الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, you should recall these six pillars of Iman in your mind. So if you believe in five and you disbelieve in one, you're not a believer. You reject one, you're not a believer. If you believe in four and you reject two, you're not a believer. You have to believe in all of them six. And الَّذِينَ عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. What are these صالحات? The commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked to do. شهادة لا إله إلا الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وصوم رمضان وحج البيت, and to do the good deeds and to be away from the كبائر and the صغائر. These are العمل الصالح. It's not العمل الصالح just confined to just improving means of technology. This is of course a means of technology, yes, it's a good deed, but it is not as good as what? As doing the salah. Allah will not ask you the first question about how many inventions have you made in this life. Allah will not ask you this question. But Allah ask you, the first question the angels will ask you about is what? Is the salah. Have you done the salah or not? This is the criterion of the believers at any time. At any time. Okay, so be aware when you hear إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, because those people who started to call for Abrahamic faith play with this verse. They use it. Haven't you heard إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ? Of course, they say yes. Yes, I believe. Yeah. So they deceive you. So anyone is a believer, and anyone who does good deeds, so he's considered a believer. And if you don't know your religion, you fall into this trap of shayateen al-ins. Okay, let's go back to this group, these two groups. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the first group, المتقين والمؤمنين, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them with these qualities. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. So those people who believe in ghaib, in the unseen, believe in Allah, in the angels, in the previous prophets that we've never seen, all this is for us ghaib. Is Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم for us is present or ghaib? He's ghaib. We haven't seen. None of us has seen Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We believe in him. None of us has seen Jesus, peace be upon him, but we believe in him. So all this for us is ghaib. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. And they, يقيمون, and the word يقيمون means regularly establish the prayer. And then وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. After you find the connotation between and the relationship between إِقَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ and إِيْتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ. Most of the time you find that when you make salah, you what? You make zakah. It completes it. And the two issues work on purification. On the purification of the soul. والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك. Those who believe for everything that was descended to you, that means the Quran. وما أنزل من قبلك, the Torah and the Bible and all the other books before they are changed. وبالآخرة هم يوقنون. And in the day after, in the day after, or in the day of judgment, they believe. So these are the qualities of this group, the group of the believers. Go to the quality of the other group. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Very clear. Very clear. Very clear cut, straightforward position. Those people who disbelieve, whether you warn them or you don't warn them, what will happen to them? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They don't believe it. They let you sometimes talk and talk and talk, and they say, "Hey, hey, I'm pleased with the way I am." Whether you warn them or you don't warn them, whether you give them the message or you don't give the message, what they are in this case? And Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said, "Khatam Allah wa ala qulubi." Allah put a seal on their hearts. They no longer see. They no longer understand. They understand in all aspects of life except the aspect of Iman. You find them very smart in everything. Very smart in inventing things. Very smart in talking. Very smart in getting money. Very smart in any aspect. But not in the belief. When you talk to them about belief, they become totally different human beings. Just a couple of hours ago, I was watching the news and I saw that the Egyptian Copts, because of the visit of the Pope, they were trying to, their only hope in life is to touch the Pope. Have you seen any kufr more than this? Have you seen any kufr more than this? Just touching a human being. Why? Because they think that he is divine. Divine. Divine, he goes to the bathroom. What type of divinity? You see the mentality? You see the mentality? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about Jesus and Mary. I like that. كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ. They used to eat the food. Meaning that they used to go to the bathroom. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say it directly.